You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host, and we're going to wait a little while before we get a hold of Matt Moreno. He's in Los Angeles. And guess what's happening in Los Angeles?
Draft? From the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, no. Give me the second guess.
All-Star Game.
Why would you want to live in Los Angeles?
The smog.
The traffic. The traffic is
California
horrible.
California girls? I don't know. Why would you
traffic is horrible. I remember I was there 15, 20 years ago, and I was there all the time for the UCLA and USC games. But it rained. It rained like a little.
All right.
Took me like 4 hours to get 10 miles.
Wow. Where was this? San Francisco or
no,
L.A.?
No, it's L.A. L.A. trying to get from the airport down to somewhere 10 miles away, 7 miles away. It took me a long time. It took me like 3 hours. And in fact, my wife at the time was with me, and she said, I'm never going to travel with you again. And I said, yes, it worked.
And she doesn't travel with you anymore,
no,
does she?
No, she doesn't travel with me anymore. Good point. Like I said, it worked. Yes.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
And now here you are. Are you doing
here at the lower levels of the AM station, FM station?
I didn't say that.
That was very funny of you, though, because wait. FM stations have many talk shows?
Typically have no.
That's my point.
So not so much.
No, it's serious radio. No, it's serious radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Semi-serious.
But all talk shows are on 8 a.m. Don't make me feel bad. I'm going to have to go see my therapist tomorrow.
Yeah. There was a talk. I think there might still be. I don't know.
You're just talking out of your behind.
No, now I just don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh, sure. That'll be a first.
Hurting your feelings?
Hurting my feelings and me having to go to my therapist and say, you know, all my problems are because of this show.
Well, you could always write. Do you like writing?
No, depends. Oh, do you have... is that me or no? YouTube? It is.
Yeah. Sorry. I can take it off.
No, that's fine. I've never looked worse in my life. One of these days I'll shave.
I still think you should start the Eye on the Ball Little League baseball team, and you can coach it.
And they would never survive the Bad News Bears coach that I would be. No, actually, that would be fun.
Kids. You suck.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's not how you catch a fly ball. That's not how you field the ground ball. And that bat you're using is too big for you.
You did coach soccer, right?
With your No.
Oh, you didn't help out?
Accident. No. Baseball, I coached Little League when I was little, when the kids were smaller. I just didn't have enough time. I was on the road so much.
Yeah, right.
I was on the road.
But
writing about stuff.
You're going to have a lot of patience, too.
Oh, very much so.
Coach.
One time, and now we're talking, now as we wait for Matt, we had T-ball, and the kids were like 4 or 5, and you know, you have to put the ball on the tee, and I believe in repetition, that's what gets you better.
Mm-hmm.
Just repetition, just put ball on the tee, hit the ball. So I was putting the ball for the 10th time with this one kid, and guess what he did?
Hit you?
He swung and hit the ball while the ball was in my hand.
Oh!
It was, and this is from a kid that could swing the bat. Holy moly.
You are a good coach.
Holy moly. And you can't cast, they're like 5 years old. Right. I was like, oh God, my hand's broken. And it hurt. And it hurt. And I was up and down yelling and screaming, but I didn't cuss because I can't cuss.
So this 5 year old had a pretty good swing on him.
Great swing, but he couldn't hit the ball.
So unless it was in your hand.
And it was miserable. Oh man, I'm thinking, I can't do this anymore. But I loved it, of course. It was fun. Except for that one day that he almost busted my hand with the ball in my hand.
Winning season for you?
Of course. There's, how can I say this?
7-6?
There's no option. Losing is not an option.
And that's what you grilled into these kindergartners.
If you learn anything in the kids, it's not about how you win. It's if you win, you must win.
And if you don't, we'll never be.
If you don't, you don't belong here. Time and circumstance.
Mr. Rivera, I have to go to the bathroom.
Oh, go ahead. Don't come back. Is that what we're here for?
5 years old?
5, 6 years old. No, I'm joking, of course.
All right. Because I thought it was like second grade or something, like seven.
That's
or eight.
Seven, eight. No, that's when you hit 595, remember?
I know. I was older. I was.
You probably went 3, 4, 6, 7. 3, 4, 6 is going to be 3, 4, 6 is 500. 3, 4, 4, 7. You were like 6, 4, or 5, 4.
6 for 10.
6 for 10. Yeah, and you just rounded it up.
No. I thought you were doing something silly yourself, so I was trying to match my silliness with yours.
Yes. Matt Moreno, please call in. Hurry, please save me. I can ask you dumb questions about U of A and the potential that they're going to have in the football field and basketball field. This is, they told me, I was warned about the summer months and the sports talk show because I don't want to talk about NFL and who the best quarterback is or who the blah, blah, blah is. Don't really care. Or the NBA season's just over. We didn't talk much about there unless the Golden State was playing, the Golden State Warriors were playing. Although the summer months brought us a lot of fun with the free agency. And I still think, and let me tell you this, I read something earlier today. I still think that the Golden State Warriors are going to be a team to watch next year. Don't sleep on the Warriors. If you're going to bet them, I would bet them now. They're like 15-1 to win it all.
Really?
Yes. They're not your Dallas Cowboys, whatever you got them at, but they're 15-1. You put $20 on them, you get $320 back.
Not a bad deal.
No. You put $200, you get $3,200.
Go ahead and put a couple bucks on that for me then. And
oh, sure.
Is the free agency and all this ridiculous money going to just continue in all of the other
sports? That Pandora's box has been open and will continue to stay open. No, in fact, some baseball players, I think it was, maybe football players were complaining about their life and their job and how much they get paid compared to the NFL, the NBA people.
Right.
Who has a gun to your head playing these sports? People who complain about their money and they make all that money should shut up. In all honesty, I'm not trying to be funny here.
Baseball players work hard, though. Don't they have 100 games or something?
Whatever. They get paid a lot of money. They're not saving lives.
Ah.
That's my point. You make a lot of money, be happy with it. Come on. I made some money today. I'll tell you off the air about my money making.
You made money.
I made money. You know why? Because I didn't have to pay for something. My car's in warranty. Yes, that's a victory. That's a victory.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I'll take it. Matt Moreno, thanks for calling in. Were you stuck somewhere in Sepulveda and the freeway?
No, the Orange County area. Everywhere's bad now, so.
Yes. I mean, hey, that's why you live in Tucson. You don't have to live in California.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely a lot better. A lot better out there. There's only, you know, one freeway that we have to really take, and I don't really ever have to get on it. So out here, you got to take, you know, 5 to 22 to 405, all these freeways. So
that's why you're here, man. That's why I'm here. I was telling my one listener that about 15 years ago, it rained in Southern California. I was staying by the beach near the airport, and it took me like 3 hours to get 7 miles.
I believe it. It would probably take you longer now.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like I say, welcome back to Tucson when you get back. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to getting back next week and, you know, getting going with, you know, another school year, another season. So
yes, we're less than 2 weeks away from the great Sumlin second year. But let's talk about basketball first. You must have been at a lot of the recruiting stuff or whatever. You seen some basketball lately?
Yeah, I wasn't able to make most of the stuff was on the East Coast this last week, and so I wasn't able to make it out there. But I've been kind of over the last few weeks or so. Really been watching some of the stuff out here. It isn't, you know, as big and as, you know, maybe fun as of an event, but there is some guys that Arizona's looking at. I got to see some guys that Arizona eventually did offer yesterday. They went on a big offer spree yesterday. So got to see some guys and talked to them kind of before Arizona offered and knew that it was at least getting close to that point. And now some of those guys are starting to see, you know, Arizona come to the picture and now have offers from the Wildcats.
It's as if that the Arizona program is not under, it wasn't under investigation. There's no such thing as NCAA, and we're just moving on. That's what it seems like to me.
Then the feeling really since a lot of it happened after that initial wave of decommitments and Arizona having to put that class back together, there really wasn't a lot of concern among recruits. I think the guys who were already on board kind of got more scared than anything. Like maybe Sean Miller wasn't going to be there, so they kind of backed away. But even some of those situations could have ended up that way regardless of what was going to happen involving the FBI stuff. So even that class that's now, you know, freshmen, Nico Mannion, Josh Green, some of those guys, they were being recruited during that same time because Arizona had to push it back, push the kind of the schedule back. Normally around that time when Sean Miller's trying to put together, you know, last year's freshman class, you're already on to, you know, the next class, the 2019 class. So there was some overlap there. And so you're talking to guys that are looking at Arizona to come in right away, you know, in a couple months versus some guys that knew they were going to come in this year. But going back to those guys, like the 2020 class, the 2019 class, rather, there was not a lot of concern. And they had a different opinion than some of those guys that, you know, like Sharif O'Neal or some of the other guys that backed off their decision. They didn't feel the same way, even though, you know, they're talking about the same school, dealing with the same coaches, having those same conversations. They felt a little bit differently, and obviously now you see what happened. Arizona ends up with a really good class and gets Nico Mannion, Josh Green, Zeke Nagy, and none of that comes into play. So it really hasn't impacted Arizona negatively very much. And yeah, maybe there's some talk from, you know, different people or different, you know, coaches maybe in their ear saying, hey, I don't know about that situation at Arizona, but it really hasn't slowed Arizona down very much. They're still going after a lot of the top guys and going to keep this thing rolling until, you know, we know whatever the next step is of this process.
Let me ask you a dumb question. I've covered Lute for a number of years. Obviously, he had a very good career, obviously, and he was a great recruiter, got some great players in here, coached them up, a lot of them. They weren't the five-star, many of them weren't. They just coached them up. And he had that persona of walking into a room, you know, kind of that aura about him. What does Sean have that makes him so good at this?
I think it's just a personality, and maybe it's something different than, you know, fans get to see, different than, you know, what the media gets to see. I think there's a certain personality and just vibe about him that I think recruits really, that it resonates with recruits. I think there's also, and Arizona does this kind of purposely, makes it feel like a pro environment. And I think that strikes a lot of guys, especially when they get on campus and they start to feel like, hey, this feels like what it's going to feel like if I'm in the pros one day. And if you get that feeling while you're on a visit and, you know, you're dealing with the coaching staff, that's what a lot of guys are looking for. It's kind of happening on the football side even more now, but on the basketball side at the level that Arizona's recruiting, those guys are not thinking about necessarily being in college for 4 years. Or if you're getting recruited by Arizona, I think your instant mentality is, I'm going to have a shot to play in the NBA. And so I think what Arizona does and what Sean Miller does is really kind of make it feel like an NBA type of environment when they come out on visits. When he talks to them, it's very professional, I think, and less so about, you know, being buddy-buddy, but more of like, hey, we're going to help you get to that next level.
So what do you mean by NBA?
I think everyone, you get an offer from Arizona, I think you're in your head, you're saying, if I'm getting an offer from a school like Arizona, I'm good enough, someone thinks I'm good enough to get to that next level and play in the NBA. And I think that's the focus for a lot of guys. And I think when you have, you know, whether it's, you know, when you get them on campus and they're going over film and talking about, hey, this guy, I think you could play like, you know, X player that's now in the NBA, whether that's Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Aaron Gordon, any number of guys, I think you could be like this guy. And you show them film with them at Arizona, and they're guys that, you know, these recruits know that are playing in the NBA right now. I think that resonates with them. And so I think it's just the feel when they're on campus. I think it's just a different vibe than, you know, coming on a college campus for a fun time. I think they really make it feel very businesslike and feel like you're already kind of a pro, and I think that pays off for them. That's what you hear a lot of when you talk to recruits. It just feels like a different environment than what they see.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. I get it. Well, he's obviously very good at what he does, which makes everything else not make sense if the NCAA is kind of lurking around seeing what's going on. But, well, I guess we'll get that memo when we get that memo about the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll know when we know, like we always kind of say.
Yes, no, you're right. So do you think that he was after a number of guys this year? Do you think that they'll start, kind of the dominoes will start to fall anytime soon?
I think so. The next kind of process, the thing you'll kind of see in the next couple of weeks is the visits get scheduled, and obviously Red Blue is at the end of September, and that's when we'll kind of get a better idea of really who's involved and who some of the key targets are going to be. The calendar's kind of gotten a little bit mixed up now, and there's only last week was really the only time that during the summer that coaches were going to be able to see prospects play with their travel ball teams. That's different. There used to be the entire month of July. There was a lot of the spring, and this year there was one weekend in the spring and one weekend in July. So it's a different change. And when you don't have that going on, that obviously takes a lot of kind of what the apparent, at least what the NCAA thinks is kind of the negative part of the game out of it. But it also takes away some of the competitive element, because a lot of these travel teams are made up of the best players from their area. So you're getting to see prospects go against other recruits who are of their same talent level, where if you're watching them in high school, naturally there's just not as much talent on the floor. So it becomes a little bit harder to evaluate. And there's a lot of complaints about that and only having this one period. So we'll kind of see what happens from here. But I think there's just a lot of guys that Arizona's involved with right now. They made a lot of offers, and we'll kind of see where it goes from here. But I think it's interesting, because Arizona typically doesn't make offers this late in the process. But I think because of how the calendar kind of played out, it's forcing them to kind of look at more options later in the year. And so we'll see what happens. But I think the next part of this is guys getting out on visits, scheduling official visits. And then when they take those visits, it's usually pretty quick after that process kind of happens that guys will start committing. So I think you'll start to see some guys. It could be as soon as August, but I think definitely by the time school starts, there'll probably be at least, you know, one guy or two guys that pulls the trigger and decides he wants to go to Arizona.
Well, that's pretty good. They finished what, third or fourth? Where did they finish in your rankings?
They kind of moved around, and I think they kind of further back now. I think maybe eight range, just
really?
Because of Terry Armstrong. Yeah, just because Terry Armstrong is not being factored into the class anymore, and he was, you know, a top 50 guy. So that takes a hit. And when you factor in the way Rivals does it, it's kind of just based on a point system. And if you have a recruit and you have so many points, you move up the list. And so when you take a guy like that out, it moves it down. So maybe there's a better way to do it, but it just, when he left, it kind of knocked him down a little bit. But it's still, you know, a very, very talented class. And I think where Arizona took a hit, at least in those rankings, is just they just don't have as many guys as some other schools, because, believe it or not, you know, there's teams that have to go through more turnover and bring in more, you know, incoming recruits. And obviously the grad transfers don't factor into those rankings, so that changes it a lot too. But at least in terms of high school recruits, there's teams that have to go out and get six and seven guys to bring in every class. And so that makes it a little bit different when you have more players to kind of add to that value. So it's a little bit tricky to kind of say, okay, Arizona is, you know, the number eight class. They are by the rankings, but really, in reality, it's probably a top five class in terms of just talent.
Don't you think that I know you're just a kid and you're on my income tax, you're a dependent. Hey, no, but just joking. However, don't you think that we're going to start seeing the Armstrong stuff more and more?
It feels like it. We'll see. I think that's something you just kind of have to wait back and see. But I think there's also going to be very soon, we're going to know what's going on with the NBA, you know, age restrictions, and that may come off in the next year or two. And if that ends up happening, I think you're going to see it a ton more, where you're going to see a lot of guys who are very, very confident. Those same guys who, when they get an offer from Arizona, say immediately think of, I'm going to the NBA, they're going to be able to do that. And so I think a lot of those guys that are out the top tier that Arizona would be shooting for in normal years,
right,
just aren't going to be there, because they're going to pursue, you know, NBA options. And there's the G League that's trying to make things more lucrative, trying to give out more lucrative contracts for guys like that who are coming straight out of high school. And so there's going to be an option to make money right away, and a decent amount of money. So I think you're going to see a lot of the top-end guys really go after, you know, the NBA career and try and go, you know, from high school straight to the NBA like they used to. And that's going to change recruiting once again, because Sean Miller no longer has – a guy like Sean Miller doesn't necessarily have those same guys that he would be shooting for. Everyone's going to get knocked down a little more, and the top guys are going to be, you know, guys that were, you know, a little bit lower in the rankings current, if they were, you know, if it was 2019. There'd be guys that are maybe a little bit lower in the rankings that are now going to be your top, you know, top five guys. So it's going to change a lot once that happens. It feels like that's kind of inevitable at this point. I know there's a lot of guys who are on the top end in the upcoming classes who are schools really aren't even looking at them that hard, because I think everyone's kind of anticipating that they're not even going to be available to recruit just because they're going to go straight to the NBA. So it's making it kind of tricky for everyone, but I do think if the pro option is there, I think there's going to be more and more players willing to take that chance. And, you know, Arizona's seen it with guys. The common thing every offseason, it feels like for the last 4 or 5 years, has been like, oh, no, that guy's not ready to go to the NBA. And there he goes. I mean, this year was Brandon Randolph, was someone that everyone said, no, there's no way he's not ready. He's not going to get drafted. And sure enough, he didn't get drafted, but he still continued to pursue that. So I think you're going to see a lot of guys who want to go that route and take their chances on trying to make it in the NBA over, you know, going to college.
Who, we're probably going to take a break here, but I was going to say, maybe last question, who of the early departures, and don't include Markkanen and don't include Ayton, and, well, you know, I was going to say don't include Aaron Gordon, then who's left, who would have had the best or is having the best early departure career? So you don't have very many left. You have Rondé and you have Stanley, and who else is out there? I think that's it, other than the ones I'd said, you know, because Markkanen's obviously very good, and so is Ayton, and Aaron Gordon's kind of played crazily good. So all you have
is... Yeah, I mean, I think Rondé is probably the next guy of that level who left early. He just got another contract, and Stanley's kind of on the fringe of that, and probably could have done very well if he would have just stuck around school for a little bit longer. But I think Rondé is one of those guys that's, you know, he just fits. It's kind of like how he fit into Arizona, where, you know, he took that role off the bench and was okay with it. I think that mentality has served him well, and I think he fits a lot of teams, and you just need someone to go in there and kind of do the dirty work, and he's their guy, and he's kind of doing the same things on maybe a smaller level than he was at Arizona, but there's always going to be a need for guys like that. So I think I wouldn't mind having his, you know, his paycheck that he's getting. And I think that's probably, if you're going to those next tier of, you know, guys that are having success, I think it's probably Rondé.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the one that's lacking or falling behind is Stanley, because he had so much potential.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I think we've talked about this on your show before. I think that was probably my biggest surprise, that he hasn't had more success in the NBA than he's had up to this point, because he just looked like a future star. I mean, he looked like someone who was going to be maybe not an all-star, maybe an all-star, I don't know, but just someone who was at least more prominent and having a bigger role than he's had so far in the NBA.
Right, and when you get shopped around a lot, that's kind of the first signs of your time is limited. And he's only like 23 or 24, if that.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have a lot to prove on this contract that he just got, and he'll have, you know, a little bit of time to do it, but this is kind of his time to really turn things around, and because there's always, you know, younger kids coming and more talent coming, and it's one of those things where you don't want to get stuck in that spot where you're really trying to have to battle and you don't have to go play in summer league again or things like that. So it's his time to prove it, and we'll see what happens.
There's always little kids coming around there, Moreno. I know it. I see them all the time. Guys like you. Those young whippersnappers. Hey, let's take a break and talk more about U of A football on the other side. Is that cool?
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Let's do that. Thank you, Bob. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Moreno, do you even know who sings these classic songs? Are you alive, Moreno? Is Moreno, Matt, are you there, Matt? There? Matt, are you there? Matt, hello. See, the music must have made it. He's on the line, but he's not answering.
Maybe
my...
Maybe he got another call.
Could be, maybe. Okay, so we'll wait. Matt, no, he's out. He called. He must have dropped. We're good with it. Matt, you
maybe
there?
Maybe now.
I am here.
Did you, we call lose dropped. You? We, okay, cool. I was going to say, you didn't listen to the music coming back, did you? You didn't hear any music.
Oh, his phone's breaking up.
Are you there?
Here.
Okay. So I won't ask you any tough questions now. So football starts here in about 13 days, maybe less than that. Are you looking forward to it? What's up with you?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting year. I think there's a lot that's going to be kind of decided and figured out, and we'll kind of know more about the future of this program at the end of this season, and there's going to be maybe some optimism like there is every year, and maybe there's going to be some grumbles about, oh, let's see what, maybe did they not make the right decision in hiring the staff. And so we know what's going to happen if they don't have a good season, and if they have a good season, fans are just going to want to see more of that before they are convinced to start coming out. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out and what happens. I've been telling people I don't really know. I don't have a wins total that I'm, like, set on that this team is going to accomplish. I could see them going 5-7 again and missing out on the postseason. Or, you know, there's maybe if things fall into place, you win 8 or 9 games. But there's just so many questions about what we saw last year and if it's going to be any better this year. I mean, we didn't really learn too much during the spring, so we'll see what happens there. But I think there's just a lot of questions that probably won't be answered during training camp, and they hardly ever are. But once the games start, we'll kind of know more about this team. And we saw early kind of what this team was about last year and kind of turned into a bit of a struggle. And I think we'll know pretty early on what this team is made of, and we'll kind of see what happens from there.
Who has more pressure on them, Kevin Sumlin or Khalil Tate?
I think Kevin Sumlin, just because I think he's the head coach. He's the guy who calls the shots. And I think, and there's a lot of, I've done different things and talked to different people from around the country, and there was not a lot of criticism put on tape. A lot of that was put on Kevin Sumlin for what happened with him last year and why he wasn't running the ball. And, you know, a lot of the criticism was towards Kevin Sumlin, even though, you know, he's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the one calling the plays, and he's not the one, you know, taking the snaps and running the offense. So he took a lot of the criticism. I heard that a lot more than I ever heard anything outside of Tucson, more than I heard of, you know, Khalil Tate and, oh, he was doing things kind of his way and maybe not sticking to the playbook like the coaching staff would like. It was a lot of, like, what did this coaching staff do, and what did Kevin Sumlin do to this quarterback that was so great the season before? So I think a lot of it would fall on Kevin Sumlin, and if they don't have a good season, if they only win a couple games, I think there'd be a lot of grumbling, like I said, and a lot of that would be directed, I think, at Kevin Sumlin.
So let's assume for a second they go 7-5 or 7-4, 6-6. Is that considered a successful year?
I don't think so. I mean, I think a successful year is, you know, I think for most fans it would be, you know, taking another step forward. I think for Arizona, I think, and the coaching staff, I think getting to a bowl game would be a nice step in the right direction. But I think for fans, they're always going to hold. They're going to want more. And I think for them, we know how they are, Steve. We've been around. You've been around a lot longer than I have. But I've seen it in my time. I mean, they want to be convinced. It's not even one season. It's you have to do it more than one season. You got to start really kind of winning games for them to kind of, for the tide to turn and for fans to really start showing up, for them to be invested. So I don't think that, you know, 7-5 season gets it done. I think people, it'll just, you don't really want to be average really in anything. I think you don't want to be one of those teams that's forgettable and, I remember that team. They had whatever, J.J. Taylor or whoever, but, you know, they went 7-5. I think you want to be, you want to be that team that, you know, is competing for the conference title and, or at least competing for the South. And I don't know. I can't tell if this team has that in it right now, but we'll see. But I definitely think a 7-5 season, I don't think would sit great with the fan base and people who are, you know, buying the tickets and sitting in the seats.
So what you've seen with what he's recruited to this point, do you think the future is good with what he's got so far?
If this continues, I think it's actually a really, really good class, and you have to really kind of watch film and see these guys in person a little bit more and get a better feel for them. But I really do like this class. It's not heavy on star power, which I think the general kind of fan is like, oh, it's just another Arizona class. This is what they do. You know, a lot of three-star guys. But if you look at the guys they've added so far, they're really good. They fit really well with what Arizona wants to do. And they're pretty talented. I think they're better than a lot of the guys they've had in other classes. There's been a lot of classes over the last, and I'm coming up on 8 years that I covered the team, where I said that's a reach. I mean, I don't know that guy's a Pac-12 player. I can't go to this list and find someone who I say that guy's a reach. I don't know that he's, you know, a solid Pac-12 player. And they have some guys who probably should have more offers than they do. So far, I think it's pretty good. It's kind of a little bit under the radar. It's not going to get a lot of attention, but I think the way they've gone about it, they've gotten some really solid pieces. This guy that committed Monday, Jalen John, the running back out of Oregon, he had offers from USC, Nebraska, and Oregon. And you can look at just that. And I think a lot of people on our message boards at GoEasyCats.com are really looking at that and going, and if someone brought it up today, they said, if you just look at just the offers, it feels like they're getting better talent. If you just look at the other schools that want the guys that Arizona has been able to get so far, and that's something to look at. And obviously, we can, you know, people on my side can throw out their rankings and their evaluations, and people can read through them and go decide what they want off of that. But, you know, college coaches are the ones who ultimately make these offers and want these guys on their team. And so if you look at their offer list, and if they're pretty good, I mean, that's a pretty good indication of what type of player they are. And I think if you look at a lot of the guys that Arizona has been able to get committed so far, they have a pretty good offer list. And when you watch their film, they're just solid players that I think are going to be able to contribute. And you don't have to be amazing. You don't have to put together amazing recruiting classes. If you can get at least solid talent in there and develop that, you can still win some football games. And I think that's where Arizona is shooting for. I think they understand, this coaching staff understands, that until things really get rolling, it's going to be difficult to pull those 5- and 4-star guys. A 5-star is going to be very, very, very rare. A 4-star guy is going to be a little bit more rare, and definitely a difficult pool for this coaching staff right now. But I think they think if they can kind of build this thing with the guys they've gotten so far, it can lead to some good things. And I really think it's a really solid class, and I think it's one that's you're going to look back on and go, okay, that was like maybe the start of something pretty good, or at least a change that fans were looking for.
So outside of Khalil and maybe J.J. Taylor and, of course, the linebacker, tell me...
Colin Schooler and Tony Fields.
Schooler. What other guys are we going to have to... be writing about? What do we have to watch? People like that, because it's probably a slim pickings in the star power.
Yeah, I think the two guys off the edge, I think J.B. Brown and Jalen Harris, I think were two guys that kind of took a step forward in the spring and showed that they're maybe a little bit better than what people thought and probably just got better. I mean, I think they just improved and made that next step in the development that you would hope kind of in this time of their careers. And they're going to be pretty important because Colin Schooler needs some help on that defense. If this defense isn't any better, they're going to be, you know, in a world of hurt. I think they're going to be able to score points. I don't think that's ever really going to be an issue for a team that's kind of in the Pac-12. There's always going to be so much talent out west at those skill positions that it's going to be fine. They're going to be able to find the talent to put points on the board. But it's about stopping other teams and stopping those other, you know, high-powered offenses in the Pac-12. So I think Colin Schooler is going to need some help. Tony Fields is going to need some help. And I like their linebacker depth a little bit more this year, but I think those two guys off the edge, J.B. Brown and Jalen Harris, not only have to be pretty good, but I think they have to go beyond what people are thinking they can do, and definitely beyond what they showed last year. So both look pretty good in the spring game, and J.B. Brown looked pretty good throughout the course of the spring, and he was one that, you know, players were talking about, coaches were talking about. So I think if those guys can take their game to a new level, I think it bodes well for Arizona this season, because the defense does have to be better, and I think that's going to be key if Arizona's going to not finish with that 5-7 record or kind of 6-6. I think it's going to be the defense that really kind of takes them to that new level.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That's where it starts, and then if Khalil can be Khalil like he used to be, at least for that 1 month, because after that 1 month, he didn't have any other great moments.
I think if he can even be just somewhere in between that year, that... Because 2017 was unbelievable. I mean, he was doing things that no one's ever done before, and it's probably not right to expect him to be at that level for an entire season. He couldn't do it that year. I mean, that after October was over, you know, it kind of dipped down a little bit towards the end of the season, so he couldn't even sustain it that year because it was just so good. So I think if they can kind of be, if he can be in between what we saw last season and what we saw in 2017, they'll be fine and they'll be better, and he'll be able to look more productive, but... I think it definitely has to be better than what we saw last year.
Yeah, no question. Well, Matt, I'll let you off the hook. Are you home or are you still on the road? You're not on the road anymore.
No, I pulled over.
Okay, yeah. So get home and be safe. When you coming back so we can start some shows with the sports guys?
I'll be back. I should be back next week, I believe.
Okay. Well, bring me a souvenir, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Matt. That is Matt Moreno, a colleague of mine for the sports guys, and I bring a freaking guest here on 10:30 The Voice. We'll take a break here and call it our final segment of the day. Thanks a bunch. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera here on 10:30 The Voice. We have about 15 minutes left. If you feel like or compelled to call, please do, 790-2040. We have 15 minutes left. You can talk some gibberish with us.
They don't have to feel compelled.
Compelled? Yeah, you know.
No, you can feel uncompelled and call.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I guess.
It's like when they say, available now at your favorite, you know, drugstore. Well, it's also available at the drugstores you don't like.
Yeah, okay. You read a lot into things, I guess.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, okay.
I have no idea what you mean.
All of a sudden, you don't read much into things. Dog days of summer here on Tucson Sports Talk Radio. And I am guilty of it because, you know, I want to have a good talk. I want callers. I wish callers.
Sure.
Where's Poncho when you need Poncho?
You know?
Where's Scott when you need Poncho? Scott. Where's Scott when you need Poncho? Where's Gloria when you need Brenda?
So are you thinking of doing maybe like a Monday, night football on the road where you do 5 to 7 and then stay for the game or?
Oh, I'm not thinking any of that. I'm just thinking that someone needs to find me that spot. Because don't you think that bars and restaurants like that already have their group of people that they don't need people like me to come in and bring crowds? Like crowds, like two people? Who's going to come and see me? Have you seen my face?
I think most businesses would like even more business. And, especially really cool places like Tino's. I mean, it's not a big loud bar. That's what always bugs me is when there's a remote, not in this station. But I've heard remotes before on ESPN and stuff, and it's just too loud, you know, and everybody's talking.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn. You're that guy. I don't know. Sports talk is cool. I enjoy it. I need more callers to call and argue with me or not argue with me or agree with me. Matt Neely was the guy that called earlier.
You have a lot of friends on Facebook, no?
Yeah, I guess. Not too many. 1,800, maybe.
For those that are a little...
I know two of them.
For those that are afraid to call in the day before, you could always post a question on your Facebook, and I bet you'd get a lot of responses.
Like what? You know, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
No, more like, you know, what did you think of concussion protocol discussion? What do you think about the dog days of summer?
And give me a call? Just to remind
them? No. Answer online. Give you their answer on Facebook, because a lot of people can't call.
Oh, yeah, but that doesn't help the show. I'm here to help the show.
Yeah.
Here to make the show more interesting, and that would be not getting off the show. You know.
You can't make that interesting?
Me getting off the show?
No.
I'm sure people said, yeah, if you get off the show, yes, there would be the show would be more interesting.
No, I meant, you know, answering. You always...
Oh, no, not really. Not really. Okay. Thanks for the attempt at that, but no.
I'm here to help.
I know
here
you're
to help, sir.
I know you
are. That's what I'm here for.
I was trying to see what's going on in the sports world on ESPN, but do you know what's going on? Not a darn thing. Not a darn thing.
So what do they cover now?
What do you call it? The cornhole thing.
That
was on Sunday. I'm thinking, really? This is what we've come to? Back in the day when I played a lot and ESPN was in the baby steps of its world, they played a lot of table tennis. I played table tennis, so I used to a lot.
And now they're showing cornhole?
Cornhole, and there was a sport that Tom and I, bounce ball or some kind of like sponge ball, square pants, something like that. It was kind of weird, and it happened in college. I'm thinking, really? When did this happen?
Oh, Gaga ball.
Who?
Gaga ball.
No, it was spike ball or something like that.
No.
It was really strange. I'm thinking, I've never seen this before, and U of A doesn't have a team like that.
You not know of a sport?
No. Billiards. They have a lot of billiards. Yeah. So, you know, it was just kind of waiting for the next wave of UA football to start here pretty soon. I'm not sure I'll have many guests here, though. I've been trying to track down some people. I think tomorrow I'll have a good show because I have two big guests coming in. Not coming in, but on the phone. One, Phil Bueller. He used to be with Channel 9, I think it was. And then I have another guy, Russ Bradford.
Yeah.
Or Bradbury, one of those names. He's an author, sports author, former Division I coach at my alma mater, but he's from Chicago. We'll talk about just the state of sports and what it is today, because a lot of things have changed, and it's just different. Maybe it's because I cover a team or a school that doesn't really care about publicity, at least not at the top level, and I'm sure that other schools are like that too now that they're shutting it off to the media. And, you know, they do their own stuff on their website and things.
Arizona, we got a lot of media this year, didn't we?
Yeah.
A lot of free publicity,
yes,
didn't we?
Unfortunately, not in a good way. In fact, I was out over the weekend and people were asking me, what's going to happen with NCAA? What's going to happen? And I'm thinking, no one knows. And they're saying, well, what about Sean? I said, well, Sean's going to be safe. Did I think he was going to be safe not too long ago? I wasn't sure, but it was very apparent that he's going to be safe from whatever happens. He might be suspended for a game or two, but, you know, if that happens, he's come off very well.
And when will you know?
We don't know. I thought it could happen this month. Then again, it might not happen this month. It could be a while. As Matt said so appropriately that I always say, we'll know when we know. Anthony's line, we'll know when we know, and we won't worry about it until then.
And I assume it doesn't matter whether they take a long time or they're quick. You never know what
correct.
They're thinking.
They might
slap them on the wrist or might spank the program pretty bad.
Right. It's not like one of those jury trials when you say, oh, they're back. 2 hours into their deliberation.
Right.
Or you know, like the OJ thing took for months. Or did it take? It didn't take months. It was just real quick. The trial took months. The verdict, not so long. So you can't read too much into it because you don't know how long they've been working on it. Something's going to happen. I don't think very much is going to happen, though.
So what was the final thing on Booker?
Well, he's been booked. Book Richardson, sentenced, I think.
What was that?
Well, I have to Google it because I can't remember.
This is fairly substantial, no?
No, not really. I think it's like less than 3 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
3 months, yeah. Sentenced to 3 months in prison and 2 years supervised release.
Okay.
In his brother. You know, that was, if that was the worst of it, that's okay.
What about restitution or anything?
I don't think that was, could be wrong, but I don't think it's that bad.
Lost his job.
Yes, and that's the unfortunate thing of the whole thing. Lost his job, lost his reputation of being what he was, and, you know, it is what it is. I mean, just unfortunate. And there was everybody promising there was a lot of stuff going on, blah, blah, blah. We're going to go out and find stuff. And it didn't happen. It just didn't happen, at least not in the trials. It was kind of like, you know.
The tease.
It was a big tease. And just nothing there. It was a nothing sandwich.
And you even asked, you had a sports attorney or somebody on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You flat out asked him, wait, I don't get this. Why are they doing that? You know, and he was just trying to throw something over there. Hey, guys, look over there. He's throwing things at the wall.
Right.
Trying to just divert everybody, I guess. So can he go somewhere ever?
Anybody who has faith in him. He could probably go back to what he used to do, the AAU scene, the stuff that got him in trouble anyway. You know, just kind of like the underbelly of the college sports where they play, you know, the summer leagues and recruit and play and coach there. Which is, you know, a good gig if you can get it. And at least you'd be doing the same thing. It's like these kids that I had on the show earlier with the Tucson Saguaros. Mm. Granted, it's not a very high league. They get paid very, very little. Mm-hmm. If I guessed what they got paid, I'd be wrong. But I know they don't get paid very, very much. They live with guest housing. Like if you had an extra room and you wanted, they say there's not a lot of money in the league. But guess what they get to do? They get to play the game they love.
Sure.
You're 22, 23 years old, and you're playing ball. I mean, my son, and I usually don't talk about my family, but my son, who's in the Peace Corps, making very little. He's doing his volunteer work, and he's still 23, just turned 24, and gets to do what he wants to do. Right. I mean, how many people like that are there? Not many.
Them, you, and our dogs. They seem very content with the jobs they have.
In fact, I don't complain about my job because this, come on, I wanted to be a sports writer. I am a sports writer, and I'm now on the radio talking gibberish and kind of waxing unpoetic about certain subjects. Come on, can't beat this stuff. And sometimes they pay me, sometimes they don't.
You know, look at it this way. Next summer, this will be a walk in the park for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You'll be like, oh, I got notes here of stuff to talk. We got, you know, shuffleboard. We got alligator racing. You know, we got all the new summer sports here. You'll
yes.
be fine.
Sure.
You'll be like I don't know, some old sports guy. So, hey, what was those guys that were here?
Yesterday?
Caleb. What was Caleb's last name?
Oh, Caleb Wickman, W-I-C-H-M-A-N.
Hmm.
And Daniel he's like Diaz. He's like 22, 23.
Good for them.
Daniel Diaz, come on. What better? You know, they're probably not going to play in the major leagues. They're probably not going to play at certain levels, just to be honest with you. But they get to do what they get to do. And I'm sure they might not have jobs, but they're playing now. They start like in 4 minutes, and you're going to go play ball for not a living, but you get to play ball, and you're, you know, young man.
If I could play ping pong, you know what I mean, even make like 10 bucks a day, I would do it.
Heck yeah.
I don't know if I would go on the road, but.
Yeah, no, and that's the pain of it, because those long drives in a bus or a van. Holy moly, you're probably thinking, what am I doing here?
They don't really know too much about that, because when you joked about it, they didn't didn't seem to share the commiseration that you were.
No, because they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sure.
About the road trips?
About being on the road. How long have they been on the road?
Half a year, maybe 3 months now.
Totality, you were on the road 15 years.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. No, yeah. But I wasn't taking van rides for 9 hours. I was taking trip flights out, to Australia and to Greece. That was the longest stuff. But they're driving in vans with other guys smelling like they do to Garden City, Kansas. That's like a 12-hour drive. Santa Fe is 7 hours. Roswell's got to be about six. If you're flying there, no problem, but you're driving there.
Wow.
And then coming back after a 2-3-game schedule, and you're just coming back and how beat you are. It's good to be young. Obviously.
Sure.
Because if you're our age and you're doing this, what the heck am I thinking?
Yeah.
What the heck am I thinking? And my good friend of mine I went to high school with is still pitching in that league. And he does it because he obviously loves it and he's trying to do something with his numbers. But come on, it's not a bad gig.
As much as we've been talking about the Tucson Swirls today, I'll send an email to folks at the Groove and let me, maybe we can get some of those tickets I was telling you about, and maybe some of your listeners would like to go to the Swirls game.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
Figure out who's got the connection.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I didn't realize that until you said that. So that's
To be honest, I don't even know if they charge.
I think it's like $5.
Right.
I could be wrong, but they play at the Annex Field at Reed Park. I'm pretty sure. You said Cherry Field.
Which is Reed Park Annex?
Yes.
Over at Campbell near the Father Keno?
Okay. No, wait. Yes, to your question. They're not playing there. They can't be. Sure, it's Reed Park.
Hey, what would I know? A DJ told me. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean,
enough said. I get it.
It's like hearing from a shepherd.
Thanks for getting me through this 2 hours of sports gibberish and common sense gibberish or whatever kind of gibberish.
I can't keep bailing you out, Steven.
You won't tomorrow because I get Tom tomorrow. So we'll see what happens.
You're so lucky.
Yes. Thanks, everybody, for listening, or that one person for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on 10:30 The Voice.